You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Bells will be ringing.
Seven on the west coast of the United States of America. Joining me from the state of Texas, Michael Musselman. What's up, Gunner? How you doing?
What's going on?
Nothing.
Hey, Marine Corps Junior ROTC at Granbury
defeated
the Real Salado Sportsman Club.
Huh? And that sounds like adults.
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Are they? Are they?
No. They are high school kids. They don't have a high school program, so they probably do like a combined city program.
Got it. Club.
Club. So they're still kicking ass and taking names. This is that single elimination or single elimination now. Once if you lose, you're out, and then they play until they're the last one standing. They keep shooting.
So where are we? I mean, can you give us enough? Are we in the semifinals? Are we?
No, these are the finals. It's all the finals now.
It's all the finals. How many final rounds are there?
Until there's one team left. So there's eight teams. So right now I think if there was eight, single elimination, they all kicked off. They lost four in the first. This is the second. So I think the next match that they shoot will be the final match. Only two teams remain.
Got it. So they went from eight to four to two.
To two. Now they're at two. Yeah.
Now, do you go to any of these matches, or you just are PAO?
Yeah, sometimes. Yep. Because, like I said, they shoot them here, and, you know, they'll shoot them remotely. So they have the Orion referees or whatever, because it's all electronic. You know, it's the way they do things. It's that Olympic style shooting. And so they can do it remotely, and then they tally scores, and bam, over.
So explain. You said it's. This is air gun shooting, yes?
Yes.
Okay, and it's scored electronically?
Yes. Orion. They're Orion target systems.
Did you just belch?
No, I hiccuped.
Oh, all right.
I was like.
It sounded like you belched there for a second.
No.
The,
Man, they.
Okay, so wait a minute. So what am I, so we're competing. I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas. We have cameras up so that you can see what we're doing?
No, it's all computerized. No, you don't have to see what they're doing. You just see the total score.
That's not going to work for me.
You have to see the competition going on, right?
Yes.
You have to see, like, okay, hey, we're down, like, six. You can see all that. So
no.
I have to see
live streaming video because
but you see the names shooting.
I got to see the shooting. I got to see the shooting. Otherwise, I'm afraid it's like four fat kid from Arkansas sitting in a basement playing games with me. I ain't having that.
No, because that's where they have the Orion official, you know, referees. Or umpires, or whatever they call them.
Who's Orion? Oh. Who's Orion? They're
Orion, O-R-I-O-N. It's a scoring system that makes, like electronic scoring stuff for here. Ready?
Yes.
The National Air Rifle League, the National Air Rifle New Shooter League, the National Air Pistol League.
Okay.
They make a lot of the Olympic stuff.
Okay.
And what it is it's electronic capture. Of shooting, and they're mobile.
Okay. Is there an official there that's going to, like, does the umpire show up? You know, for a baseball game, the umpire drives up in his car, he puts on his black pants and his shin guards, and he brings his stuff, and he walks out of the field. Boom, we're going to play. We got an umpire. It's official.
Yes.
So there's an official that shows up there to score the shooting.
Yes.
Okay, so I can have confidence if I'm in Granbury that we're not getting jobbed by some loser in Arkansas.
Right, exactly. So there's right now the league, the postseason results. You have the Sporter Championship Tournament.
Yes.
That's, I don't know what the hell. Then you have Precision Championship.
Yes.
And then the Sporter Invitational Tournament.
Yeah, the Sporter Invitational.
Which I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I know.
And then you have Distinguished Division Conference Title Games.
Ooh, we like that.
No, because those aren't, that's yeah. all like junior stuff. That's like little kids. Yeah.
So are you going to go out there this week and watch them shoot?
Yeah. So right now, Granbury's in the final. So they face the winner from Robinson High School, who's they beat already once in the first round games. And now Robinson High School plays the Georgia competitive shooter.
Well, how does Robinson come back in if we already eliminated them?
So they by seed. So now, okay, so
right.
they played in the original league.
Yeah.
They would play. Right. And it was just shooting, right?
Right.
Okay. So then it's that's by seed choice. So then right. Granbury plays the A seed because they're number one.
Got it.
They beat those guys. And then the fourth and fifth seed played, and that's Rio
right.
beat Fountain Fort Corson.
Right.
And then Granbury played them and beat them. And so now it's going to be Granbury and whoever won the Robinson. I don't know who won the Robinson.
The Robinson game?
Right.
I want you to know I got a whole bunch of hate mail on Friday, on my birthday, because...
Oh, good. So you know we're doing something right.
Because we didn't know what the fuck we were talking about when we were making fun of the flyover.
Oh, you know what? They're just making that shit up.
No, I went back and watched the Gerald Ford one, and it was the same as the Bush one. Four sets of four and whatever.
Okay, doesn't make it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two times we did it. You know, and they're all upset because, you know, they're trying to, you know, we can fly formations up to four because five, that's like, whoa. We don't know what that looks like.
Well, I just want to tell you that, you know, by the numbers, that's how you're supposed to do it. I think that Why? Sucks, man.
Why can't you do 21 yeah. aircraft?
I don't know.
Line abreast and then have one pull off. That would look sharp.
Yeah, that's like they're saying, look, it's okay, the march off, right? The passing review is going to be four fire teams, right, of four.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and that's how we're going to do it. You mean we can't?
37 times.
We can't. You mean yeah. we can't put together one formation and do this? Which would look way better. Way better.
It's not about... See, they're upset because it's not in their rule book. We're not talking about rule books. We're talking about what looks better.
We don't care about their... Okay?
No.
We don't care about their rule book.
And they only care... Aviators only care about the rule books when they're trying to defend something.
Right.
Because those guys don't follow the rule books either.
Yeah, and then they meet guys like us. We had great input into writing the rules, and then we break them as necessary. Like
we always create a back door.
Exactly. Well, you know what? We're not afraid when the situation doesn't fit to modify it or go out of bounds. So that's the way it is. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
For your information, thank you. Thank you for the brief in passing comment about TRICARE Dental or open enrollment or whatever it was after you started your show. I completely gapped that open enrollment ended today. You saved my dental insurance coverage for me, ! Had I not heard you mention it in passing, I'd have totally missed it. Saved it for my significant other, too. He's down in Tampa, so he's going to get that done. How about
right.
that? How about that? Just doing good things in the world. I love it.
Oh, yeah. What? Hey, these Georgia competitive shooters,
yes.
whoever they are, they're
yes.
pretty good, man. I mean, they're pretty good. They came into this whole match. Like back in Georgia, they're kicking everybody's ass. I'm looking at their
homepage. But it's Georgia. Come on. It's an Army state. Well, we got our logistics base there, but it's pretty. The Army has Georgia kind of locked up with Fort Benning.
Right, and then when Army comes over to Fort Texas Stewart. Where the Marines are at, bam, smackdown.
Welcome to town, son.
So I'm pretty sure that Georgia competitive shooters are going to beat Robinson High School.
You are.
Yeah.
You should do a little segment on this for ESPN or something.
Well, Robinson High School is.
In your cowboy hat.
What?
You should do a segment on this for like ESPN or something. In your cowboy hat?
Yeah, I should.
Dip in. Hey, Gunner Mike Musselman here.
Reporting you live from Granbury High School.
In beautiful downtown Granbury, Texas.
Where I'm jumping right into the action. Right now. And so they'd be all like, no, because it's behind glass. You can be quiet.
What? Oh. What? So you can be loud because we're behind glass and the shooters are on the other side?
Yeah, shooters are – we're on the – bleach. You can be on the bleachers on the other side.
Okay, then we can make all kinds of noise. That's good, man.
Oh, yeah. Man, these kids are the same – you know, I'm looking at Robinson High School team.
Yeah.
Same thing, man. It's mostly girls.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
It's not like shooting is not a something a lot of. I mean, you can get out of class and be on a shooting team. Why would you not do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the.
Are girls just better shooters?
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
Let's not even go there, girlfriend.
I know. No. If Athena's listening right now, she's like, but.
All right, here's an interesting question. If you had to take James Comey, Michael Cohen, or that Flynn dude as your Ranger buddy, who would you take?
What's my choices again?
Cohen, Flynn, or James Comey.
I would probably take James Comey.
I'd take Cohen.
Well, why would you take Cohen?
Because you can get him to do anything.
Well.
Hey, go get me some food now. Guy comes back with a pot roast.
We're in a survival situation, right?
Well, I don't know, like.
Give me a situation we'd be in. I would take neither one. I'd go at it alone.
You can't. You have to take one of them. Yeah. Got to take one of them.
I don't like any one of those guys.
I know. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of the question. Who would you choose?
I think I would take Comey again because.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, the other two think they know everything, you know, military guys.
Comey doesn't?
No, but he's not a military guy.
What, Cohen is? He's a pretty boy lawyer.
I know, but he thinks, like, he pretends to be things.
That's what you need.
He's pretended to be a lawyer for this long.
he's a total piece of shit. Then he cooperated, and then they're still going to send him. Yeah, he didn't cooperate that much. You're going to jail, son.
Well, he's probably such a dickbag lawyer that he forgot to sign the immunity letter.
My God.
And as they got behind glass and asked him, these FBI guys are going, hey, Joe, check this out. What? He didn't sign it. Oh, shit. Cool. Don't say nothing.
Again?
And then when they get him on tape, they're like, all right, you're still going to go to jail. Well, you didn't sign the letter, dickhead. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. God. Yeah, that would be tough. God, that's like. Oof.
I think you could use Cohen's lying, manipulating skills among the lesser humans around you to get more food and get better living conditions. He would be kind of like your house mouse, you know, caddy.
I think he'd be the same. I think Cohen would be the same way. You could just like mad dog him and like do the chest lunge. Like, what are you going to do about it?
You think you can mad dog Comey?
Oh, yeah. It would take like one. You'd have to punch him once because he probably hasn't been punched in a long time. But you just punch him. Let him know you're serious and be over with it.
No, he's probably a karate master or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm really scared now.
Oh.
No, that's called, like, karate.
He goes to the gym.
Does 1 hour of this karate Tai Bo dance.
Exactly. In his white robe with his little wizard belt on. The, Mike Tyson.
Then you just grapple up, wrap him up and grapple him and then be over with.
Mike Tyson, one of the greatest quotes of all time. Everybody's got a plan until you punch him in the mouth.
Yeah, I love that quote. Yep, you're right. I live.
That's like simplicity. I watched three fights on Saturday night. Oh, my God. There's this Russian dude that's supposed to be the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. He's not Russian. He's from the Ukraine. He's Ukrainian. Wow, he's impressive. But the first fight, this kid knocked this. He's a Hispanic kid from I want to say from New York City, from Brooklyn. And he hit this kid with a right hand, like over. It went over the glove. The dude was knocked out on his feet and then fell. I don't know if you saw it, but oh, my God. It was an incredible, incredible punch. Did you grow up watching fights, Mike? My dad used to watch them. His uncles, you know, back in the day when they used to have fights on Saturday night on TV and shit like that. Anyway.
I mean, sometimes, but I wasn't really into – I think that's a barbaric sport.
Boxing?
Yeah.
No, I think mixed martial arts is. Boxing I like.
No, mixed martial arts is cool.
No, I don't like that shit, man.
I do.
I don't like. You get them on the ground and you're...
Well, I don't like it anymore because it turns into this...
Oh, my God.
...genre of tough guys.
I like boxing. Boxing is an art. To me, you watch MMA, it looks like fighting out behind Foggy's Notion outside of MCRD at 2:05 in the morning.
Yeah. Did you see that video I sent you guys... on Messenger?
No. What was it? Like, why'd you send that?
Oh, dude, you had to see it. Oh, man, you missed a great opportunity to see, like, total stupidity in action. So one of the ladies I taught, you know, situation awareness to, right?
Right.
She calls me up and says, hey, I got this guy. He's interested in buying a house, but he just comes across. When I listen to him and talk to him, everything like you told me kind of like, So I said, okay, send me his name. So she sent me his name and I looked him up. And this guy is like, if there ever is a master, like this guy makes you and I like freaking white belts in bullshittery.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah.
Us?
Yeah, us. We're like,
what? Really?
Yeah, I thought I was like ninth degree black Dan belt in bullshittery. No, this guy shows up and I'm like, what? I'm just a white belt? I haven't even started?
But he's not a good guy. He doesn't do it for the good, though. No.
He does it for his own personal gain.
He's a bad guy.
But still, doesn't make it, I mean, yeah, it doesn't make it, he's not good, but it doesn't make it any different. He's a master at it.
You think the art form is that important, that you would put the art form in front of the purpose? We're like Robin Hood.
We're Robin Hood bullshitters.
Yeah.
You're right. That's a good way to put it.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's the sheriff of Nottingham bullshit.
Yeah, he's like Lex Luthor kind of guy. He's not super,
right.
Yeah.
So, but this guy has got it going on. I mean, he is the quintessential... Like, again, pick something. I think the only thing he didn't put in his bio was he was an astronaut. I think that was the only thing that he didn't put. Seriously. So he's an actor.
There you go. Dropped on your head for life.
So he's an actor. And the only thing that I found, even looking through his stuff, that he ever was in... He was in, and you had to watch it real quick because the camera panned by. He was a reporter that didn't say anything that stood there in this thing for a TV show with you know, press badge, and he had like a notepad, looked like he was paying attention, like a briefing. And the camera passed by, and that was it. That was the only time. And he puts down actor, okay, singer, songwriter, investor, military guy. That's what really got me going. I was like, oh, combat medic, sniper, special forces. Yeah, like all of this shit, right?
Special Agent Orange?
He is the Secret Squirrel. Like the Secret Squirrel Club, he is Secret Squirrel.
So, wait a minute. So now, does this guy live near you?
Yeah, he lives in Austin, of all places.
Well, that's where they live, right? Well, in Texas.
San Francisco, yeah.
Austin is the San Francisco of Texas.
That's right. All the weirdos.
So are you going to go out of your way to do one of your, like, I'm going to provoke a confrontation with this guy and then scare him?
No, I'm not going to scare him.
What are you going to do?
But I just, like I said, I was learning about this guy, and I came across that video that I sent you guys. Mm-hmm. And what is it is it's a promo for him showing how his military skills. Dude, you got to play it. You got to play it. And I'm serious. You will get the it is the funniest thing you've ever heard. The it's not even like, you know, you got to be, you ever seen watch Bean military movies?
Bean?
You're like, oh, that's corny. You know, yes. B-rate, you know. Yeah, B-rate. It's like, that's corny.
Yes.
You know, you got Saving Private Ryan on one side, right?
That's not corny. Those type of movies. That's Band Brothers. Not corny. That will scare
the me. Realism. Yeah, the way they talk, the way they, because they, that's the way they are. Then you have like.
Stripes.
This is even further down the spectrum than Stripes.
Come on.
Dude, you've got to play it.
You're just looking for attention.
He's.
So dude, what's the point of what's the point of all of his trickery and tomfoolery?
Just to get ahead. He takes advantage of people. He's that kind of guy. He gets you to believe, and then either he makes you, you know, he mooches off you. He's a leech, he's a lamprey, he's a parasite, he's a tick. All of those things that attach themselves to a host.
Yes.
He's that guy. Yeah, he's that guy. Like I said, lamprey, tick, leech, you pick it. He is the quintessential thing that lives off a host. And if the host dies, he dies. That's why he's got to keep the host alive. And he does that by these, again, and he probably takes advantage of these women that are with him. There's always women in his pictures with him. I'm like, God, why do they have to be?
So now you're obsessed with this guy.
I'm not obsessed. I just got to find out.
A little
like,
bit. Now you're obsessed.
Yeah. I got to find out who this guy really is. But that video, Mac, I swear to you.
Why would I want more of that in my life?
He's using a call sign. He's like,
it's my birthday. It's my birthday week.
Taking out a high-value target.
Stop it. Stop.
And the high-value target's name is King of Spades or Queen King or Joker, King of Hearts or something like that. He's like, Roger. And his voice is really feminine. He's like, and he's in this stupid camo, and he's got this stupid gun that's like looks like a BB gun. And he's like, This is Black Slayer 6, and I have the King of Jokers in my sights. Am I clear? And then he comes back. He's like, you know, playing the other voice. Roger, Black Dog 6, Joker 6. This is King Butthole. I mean, you listen to this, and you're like, what? I couldn't make this up on a... That couldn't even be this stupid if I was drinking stupid juice. And it's just like, no, it doesn't work this way. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen, though. Like, as far as you want to see a phony, here's a phony. This is what phonies look like. He wrote his own biography in IMDb.
Oh, stop. 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 Okay, look, I'm done talking about this idiot. And I, why you are obsessed with him is bothering me now.
I don't know. Because I don't like people like this. I really don't.
And you're going to take it upon yourself to what?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know yet. But she, you know, when she asked me, I couldn't do it that day. She's like, you want to meet me when he comes, sees the, you know, checks out the house? And I said, don't even engage with him. I mean, he's saying, I'm a veteran. I'm a disabled veteran. He did some stint in the army as, for like 3 years or something like that. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, everything just smells weird about this guy. But anyway. Hey, I saw the George Bush tribute last night.
Which
that
one?
Jenna Bush put together.
Oh,
that was narrated by Jenna Bush.
That was
a tearjerker, man.
Really?
But Gampy. That's what they used to call him, Gampy. Yeah. What a great guy. The more that I see, and it's sad that we only see it now that he's gone.
Well, you know, he's a private guy, and that, especially that side of him. I'm going to add this to the little thing I play at the start of the show. This is about 16 seconds of George P. Bush talking about what his grandfather taught them.
He left a simple yet profound legacy to his children, to his grandchildren, and to this country. Service. Undoubtedly, when the last words are written on him, they will certainly include this, that the fulfillment of a complete life cannot be achieved without service to others.
Boom. Drop the mic.
Right.
Just an awesome, you know, and again, I was, George Bush had his mom and dad. He's in his 70s, man. He's in his 70s, and he had his mom and dad around forever, and they were awesome people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, this is so cool to
me.
How
lucky.
Yeah.
He really is.
That
yeah.
dude won the lottery to have that guy around. You know, and all the, you know, Mike and I talked about, every person I've talked to about the letter writing thing, Mike, says the same thing. Yeah, no, I resolved. I'm going to write more letters to people. I was blown away by all the people who got letters from that guy, who how much they meant that he took the time out of his day to write. I'm gonna do that. And so,
yep. Are you doing it though, or are you just saying?
No,
like
no,
a,
did it over the weekend.
Who'd you write letters to? Did you write one to me?
No, no, I will though someday. You know what? I should. I got two. This shit happens to me now, and here's one. It's from Jose. I really enjoy the podcast. I listen to it almost every day on my one-hour commute to work. In particular, I appreciate the discussions on living with PTS, which helped me get serious about cutting down my drinking.
Good.
Yeah. He's an Echo 2-4 guy. Was in from 2004 till 2008. I have a few small requests. Could you have Mike do a gun talk on the AK? I'd be interested to hear y'all's thoughts on the rifle. Second, you all should consider reaching out to Nick Velez from Bastards Canteen in Downey, California. Do you know that guy?
I know the name, yeah.
So do I. I know the name, and I've heard of Bastards Canteen. I served with the guy, and I've seen him go on and do great things and great things for vets. I think he brings some fresh insights into transitioning into civilian life, entrepreneurship, service to the community, etc. Keep up the good work, Corporal Kaz. So I got that, and then I got this.
Why do you keep laughing?
This one's entitled Goofs. Good grief. I gave you guys the detail, and you're still fucking it up royal. This is about the flyover. It's not multiplication, but rather by. Use a plus sign if it helps. There was no group of five. The CO passed first as a single. Whatever.
he's arguing the wrong point.
Yeah. Why wasn't it 21? That's our point.
Yeah, we went 21 in one single formation. It was. You know, they come back and say, but it was this four, this four, this four, this four. That's called a four pack. You're like, quit making shit up. We just want 21 planes to pass over at the same time, like,
yeah,
in some kind of formation.
So, but what got me was Navy will execute largest flyover.
Yeah, wait, I know.
They repeated the smallest flyover four times, is what they did, or five times.
Right.
I still don't. This is like a math. That math for Marines, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. You know, back in World War II, if you watch videos, when the planes take off from the carrier and they're flying through the clouds, you look at the lead aircraft and off his left wing, there's 11 other fighters, like all staggered. That's what we're talking about.
Here's that's what I thought it was going to be. Just by the way, they were the largest ever. I was like, whoa, shit, this is going to be cool. And I'm watching it going, what? Like, what are we? This is like lame. If you've never been around a jet before, you know, like the sound of those like five flights of F-18s going over. You know, that's cool. You know, the noise.
Hey,
is awesome.
I put together the largest helicopter lift assault by fire since Vietnam.
Oh, when was that?
That was when I was, we were at, was that regiment or division? When we took 2-1 and we lifted them into 29 Palms.
It was division. No, I remember it.
Remember that?
I remember it.
That was my idea, boys and girls. I'm the one that came up
with
that.
See, and everybody thinks you're just a dumb,
fuck. General Nicholson. He's like, hey, let's put something together that, you know, and I said, let's do an entire battalion lift, not lifting a battalion 27 times. You don't have to fly up there, come back, fly up there, come back. No, let's lift the whole battalion, put them all in the air at once. And people were looking at me like, dude, you're crazy, Gunner.
Can't do that.
It can be done. We can do this. And sure enough, dude, we had like, God, more than one squadron of 22s. I think we had every VF-22 an Osprey on the whole West Coast. The whole, what was that airfield called out there, the Expeditionary Airfield, the EAF?
EAF, right.
Yeah, the EAF out by 5th Marines. The whole country.
That's what I remember seeing, is that they have some awesome pictures of just.
God, it was so cool.
Battalion of Marines and then just line of Osprey coming in. That's what the flyover was supposed to look like.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. And then we had like 1853s on top of that. Have you ever seen what 18 CH-53s look like in the sky at once, like coming in at once? It's freaking awesome. I would run if I was the enemy, and they were just transport helicopters carrying food. I'd run for my life. They're scary looking.
And they blow, and if there's a shitter anywhere near you, yeah, get away because it's going airborne, son. Yeah.
Dude, it was like, but they lifted everybody at once. Yeah, well, the 53s took off first, and then the 22s because they're so much faster. But when you looked in the air, there's like an. And to be a civilian that's not military-related in San Clemente, when they probably were, like, walking out of Starbucks and they look and they see this thing going across this massive air armada.
What?
Dude, if you're a girl, you're automatically...
You just made up a word. Air armada.
Yeah. But, I mean, nice. Women all over the world were just like,
oh,
my God.
How do I take my clothes off?
Climax.
Oh, I
bam! Don't. Right off the bat.
All right, let me read you another email I got.
Oh, no, from their aviator, please.
No.
Okay.
I sent this person, I'm working on this thing, I've got it down to 8 commandments, all right? 2 goals, 8 commandments, so, and it deals with post-traumatic winning. Looks awesome, I especially like number 2 that says trauma is trauma. I think it's the absolute truth that trauma is trauma. and what is driving post-traumatic winning into the world outside of our veteran bubble. I know that before you made that statement, I always felt like trauma from combat was kind of its own thing. Dare I say, I thought maybe we were different from everybody else in that regard. That is wrong as wrong can get. The trauma tribe is so much larger than just our veteran tribe, and post-traumatic winning and the 2 and 10, now down to 2 and 8, is all seems to bridge the gap between guys and gals like us and the greater tribe that encompasses everybody dealing with trauma. I love to see where this is going and the success you are having with outreach into the community. I know that 2 goals and 10 commandments, now 8, work because my life changing for the better by living them. You have created something that works better than anything a doctor or shrink can provide. It's powerful. I didn't read that for the, you know, Mac, don't break your arm, patting yourself on the back, right? I read it to get to this. I had a cool thing happen to me recently. At the range where I work, I run a tactical carbine and pistol event on Saturday mornings. The guys who sign up are usually the same group of guys, so I've gotten to know some of them fairly well. One of the guys is very introverted computer programmer who doesn't say much, but was acting really down. After the event, he asked me if we could go over some of his gear and if I had any recommendations for setup advice for his plate carrier. So we went into the classroom to talk gear, and I asked him, "What's up, that you seem a little bummed this morning?" For a guy who says very little, he proceeded to unload for about 10 minutes about how he feels like he's falling into a pit and his mental health is deteriorating. He's about my age and lost his mother a month ago. He also quit taking his ADHD medicine because he was having heart issues. That, along with losing his mother, has deeply affected his work productivity, and he said that the only joy he has in life is coming to the range on Saturday morning. I was absolutely floored. All this came from someone who has a hard time looking you in the eye when he talks, but he's just that introverted. This was my first opportunity to introduce someone to post-traumatic winning. We spent the next hour talking about Allmarine Radio, you and the Gunner, post-traumatic winning. We both opened up to one another about our inner struggles and how we must learn to coexist with trauma and how to coexist. It ended with us exchanging phone numbers. We also consider each other friends now. It was very cool. You know what?
Hello.
You know how cool, like, out of the middle of fucking nowhere, that lands in, like, you're going to, like, oh, got to
be
that.
I got that same email, by the way.
Is that, it's awesome. And yeah. So it's just, you know.
Well, in order for it to work, you got to communicate. So you may see this, but you did the right thing. Most people wouldn't have said anything to them because it's not their place. You know, it's like people say, how do you do this, Gunner? How do you talk to people? Because I walk up to them. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, I walk up to a total stranger the other day.
John the Baptist.
Yeah, walk up to a total stranger. Say, what's bothering you? And they're like, what? Excuse me? I see something's on your mind. It can't be that bad. Christmas is just around the corner. Come on. Well, you know, and I'm like, you know, and you get to talking to them. It's great, man. It's great.
It's the cool, I'm telling you, it's the coolest. And the coolest thing for veterans, I think, I mean, it doesn't take anybody but one time to get addicted to it. It's exactly the same experience as when we were on active duty and you mentoring somebody and seeing the light go on and them, now they get it. They're going now. It's that moment, except I dare say the stakes are a little bit higher. The stakes are a little bit higher because you're dealing with somebody's mental health and all the different bad things that can come of that. And all of a sudden, you rearrange the deck chairs, and they look and they're like, "Oh, right. I didn't know." And so I wanted to share those because it's cool.
Yeah, you know, and so you and all you have to do is sometimes you don't have to sit there and have a conversation with them. Sometimes all you have to do is make their day better.
Right.
One day. If you can make your day better for somebody, that just keeps them, you know, they're like, it gives you hope. It's like, man, you know what? It's not so bad. This person just showed me absolute kindness from a total stranger. You know what? Today's going to be a good day. Shit like that, boom, turns things around. You know, and I tell people, here's a good idea. So now that it's getting cold, not for you guys in California, of course, but for us people in America, as it gets colder, if you live in a colder climate, some of these old jackets that have been sitting in your closet you're never going to wear again, throw them in your car, put them in your trunk, take them with you, put them in a bag, put them in your trunk. And then as you see the need for somebody, you look at either he's a homeless person or you just know that they just don't have enough money to get a coat of some sort. You sit, just walk up to him and say, here, you need this more than I, and walk away. I've done that twice, and it is the greatest feeling in the world because you feel like you just turn so – they don't turn it away, but at least the times I did it. I mean, if they do, they're like, no, I don't need it. Say, okay, I was just offered. That's fine. Still a good deal. But the two times that I've done it, and I just walked up and said, here, you need this. And they're like, wow. And then, yeah, there were nice coats, but I mean, what was I going to do with them? Sell them? No. I was going to put them in a bin anyway, and who knows where that thing goes, for a homeless shelter or some, you know, that kind of thing. And so, those are good causes, but it feels better to do it yourself. Walk up and hand it to somebody. Do that. It is the proverbial, I'm giving the shirt off my back. And that, those type of things make, you know, my daughter gets addicted, and she's such a good kid. I don't want to talk about it because she's here. I don't want to make her feel like she is a good kid. She's got to continually strive to do better. But so she'll go out, and she gets addicted to where she goes and buys people lunch, total strangers. She loves that. She thinks it's the fucking greatest thing in the world. Where she's in line, and she's getting through the drive-thru, and she's like, I'd like to pay for the people behind me, too. Just don't tell them it was me. And she pays. Because I see it sometimes. I'm like, what are you, why did you spend, you know, Taco Bell? You're about for lunch. She's like, oh, no, Dad, I just got someone's lunch behind me. Because she likes that. She's seen me do it, so she did it. And it makes her feel good, so it's an addictive thing to her. But she likes doing shit like that. Like total stranger stuff. If she sees a little kid, like a little girl or a little boy, little one, you know, and then you could tell that they, you know, they don't have a lot of money and stuff like that. And she'll do is she'll watch them just when they make eye contact, and she'll drop a couple dollar bills. She won't hand it to them because they don't want to take away your dignity, you know, steal that from you. Like, you know that I need. But what she'll do is right in front of her, she'll drop it on the ground and walk away. And she watches the little girl pick it up, you know, and like smile, like, oh. She thinks it's cool, you know, and it's like, yeah, she's a good kid.
You know what? And it never gets old. Here's an email. Just an audio note for the two of you. Whenever you two talk about this, your voices change. They become more alive and quicker.
Oh, because it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Because it's something you love, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it never gets old, ever.
Yeah, so when we talk about politics and shit like that, our voice goes like this, and we start talking like this.
No.
But guns and making people feel good, yeah. And then I get excited.
Yeah, especially this time of year. This time of year is a really cool time of year, I think, especially with your kids to give and to show them, introduce them to the rest of the world that maybe not really doesn't have a list of, you know, 10 or 12 presents that they want, but hoping not to get evicted, hoping to, you know, that they can provide. Did you see Kid Rock walked in to his local Walmart in Nashville, Tennessee?
Right.
Well, he didn't walk in. He said his agent down there. And they paid off everything that was on layaway.
Yeah, everything on layaway that day.
Yeah, he said he got the idea from some producer. I can't remember his name. But he said, hey, man, shout out to you. And the producer did it down at two different Walmarts in Atlanta. He said something that you could do that people struggling, you know, don't have the money to buy these toys, just walk in and pay off everybody's And he left them, you know, he'd signed a card for everybody he did it for, and it said, Merry Christmas from your neighbor, Kid Rock. And he signed a bunch of those things, and they just gave the card to everybody. And then you saw people come in, and they got interviewed, and they're in tears. Like, I didn't know if I was going to be able to get the rest of the money to pay off, you know, my layaway to, you know, to get these things home for Christmas. And now, you know, he paid it all off. And, you know, it's really, really cool time of the year. So,
you would hope that more would be doing it. But no, you know, like you guys got like Jeff Bezos, who, you know, owns Amazon, who, you know, what, $100 billion, you know, he could pay off every Walmart in the United States on layaway today, right now, boom, and not even dent his pocketbook. You know, but it's like, he's over $100 billion.
Do you think he does and he just doesn't tell anybody?
No, I don't think he does.
Dude, you know how much fun you could have if you had that kind of money? You just call up Walmart and say, hey,
other people happy.
I'm going to pay for everything on layaway in the United States.
On every store.
Every store.
But, sir, that's $10 billion. Oh, I'm going to have 90 left? Oh.
Hold on. Do you want it in cash or will you take my debit card?
Ask me that again, dickhead, and I'll have semis with $1 bills coming to it.
I mean, it would be so fun to just be like Santa Claus all the time. Constantly. Yeah. Constantly, constantly, constantly. That's cool. Here's another one. Power Player of the Week, Devotion. Chris Wallace ended Sunday's show with a piece on Tom Hudner / Jesse Brown. Now, if you'll remember, Mike and I were talking about something. And Mike said, I asked Mike if he had ever heard of this. And the guy who wrote the book is a guy named Makos, M-A-K-O-S. And Mike said, oh, I have a book by that guy. It's about a German Messerschmitt pilot that escorted a B-17 that had the shit shot out of it back to England.
Right.
And I said, what? And Mike told the story. Story is like, it's like a Disney movie, right? It's not.
Yeah. It's one in a whatever the top number is.
Yeah, you can't.
10 trillion.
And you're like, come on, are you sure? So I start looking it up. What was the book called, Mike, that he wrote that you?
It's over there. You want me to go look?
Yeah, get the name of it because it's the story's crazy.
Hang on.
The story's crazy, right? And then when you see the picture that they take. I think it's in the book. I'm not sure, but at some point these guys find each other after World War II.
Okay, a higher call. Written by Adam Makos.
Yeah. And they find each other after World War II, and then there's this incredible.
I'll read you the foreword. 5 days before Christmas, 1943, a badly damaged American bomber struggled to fly over wartime Germany. At its controls was a 21-year-old pilot. Half his crew lay wounded or dead. It was their first mission. Suddenly, a sleek, dark shape pulled upon the bomber's tail, a German Messerschmitt. Worse, the German pilot was an ace, and the man was able to destroy the American bomber with a squeeze of the trigger. What happened that day would defy imagination and later be called the most incredible encounter between enemies in World War II. This is a true story between two pilots, Second Lieutenant Charlie Brown and Second Lieutenant Franz Stingler, the former airline pilot from Bavaria who sought to avoid fighting World War II. And then it goes through, higher call follows both Charlie and Franz's harrowing missions. Charlie would face takeoffs, da-da-da-da. Ultimately, Charlie and Franz would stare across the frozen skies at each other. The American Air Force, 8th Air Force, would later classify what happened to them as top secret. It was an act that Franz would never mention or he faced a firing squad. It was an encounter that would haunt both Charlie and Franz for 40 years until, as old men, they would search for each other, and that's when they got together in Canada. And you see these two come together, and they were like, again, like finding out that you got a twin brother.
Right.
You're 60 years old. And you finally get to meet him. The emotion yeah, you're right. You go through this book, and it's a beautiful book. Yeah. I mean, it's well read.
Mike,
well
but read. Is the picture in the book that shows the two of them surrounded by their wives, their kids, and their grandkids?
Yeah, that picture's in the book.
It's the coolest picture because none of those people exist if that guy doesn't do what he does.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he wrote another book called Devotion, and it's about Tom Hudner, Jesse Brown. Jesse Brown is the first black American naval aviator. He and Hudner become best friends. They're wingmen. They're flying at the Chosin Reservoir. Brown gets shot down. Hudner crash lands his plane because Brown can't get out of his plane. Brown dies in the wreckage of his plane. Hudner is somehow or other gotten out of there. I don't know if a helicopter lands or if Marines get to him, but he's awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. So the piece ends. Chris Wallace's show on Sunday ended with a piece on them, complete with new information that Hudner paid for Jesse's widow to go to college. Hudner and Makos, the author, going to North Korea to search for Jesse Brown's remains. And the very recent launch of the USS Thomas Hudner. Very inspiring to see the story get some press time. I second the request for an AK episode on Gun Talk. Not to put any pressure on you, Mike.
Well, not today, but yeah.
No, not today.
But we will talk about this week.
Adam Makos has a new book. It was also included in the email, Spearhead, an American tank gunner, his enemy, and a collision of lives in World War II. How Makos finds these stories? I need to get him on here. I'm like, how do you find these stories? You find the craziest stories.
Yeah. He's the editor of military magazine Valor. You can find him there.
I'll bust him off an email.
Is he a veteran? Yeah. No, it says Makos has interviewed countless veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and present-day war. She's has flown a B-17 bomber, okay, who has a T-38 fighter with the Air Force, and is one of the few journalists privileged to examine Air Force One with its pilots. In a pursuit of story, Makos has met with presidents, had tea with Prince Charles. Look, I wouldn't claim that. Toured the DMZ border in Korea, done that. American troops, high point of the drill. And no, it doesn't say anything.
Hmm.
No.
All right. What else you got going today? Anything exciting?
He's got a website called ValorStudios.com. Yes,
I saw that.
Huh. Yeah. No, not today.
What's the next phase of LandNav? When does that get going?
Oh, I don't know. It won't be until after not this year. Next year.
Next year?
Yeah, I've got Christmas shit coming up, man.
Does anything. You're going to Colorado though.
Yeah, I gotta mentally prepare my mind.
That's
not funny.
Do what? What are you gonna do in Colorado? Like look at the mountains and go, oh, it's so beautiful up here.
I am going to clear the hard drive. Yeah.
Really? So that's why we're going to Colorado, to clear the hard drive?
Yeah. Get rid of the hard drive.
Get rid of the hard drive. All right. Anything else exciting going on?
No, but if you...
How's the transition? Your chief of staff... Speaking of chief of staff, Kelly, out.
Oh, my God.
Kelly, out. Dunford got notified, too. Why would he notify Dunford so early? Because they're a package deal? And your friend, boom, you're fired.
Well, he's not firing Dunford. Dunford's been there for...
I know. This is time to go. But you don't normally name the guy 10 months before he takes over, even if you have it in your head. But who knows? Who knows? But, you know, so I don't know about you, but I got a bunch of texts like, hey, Kelly, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, I think Kelly probably said thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, he's probably happy to get out of there.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm surprised Mattis ain't going to go.
He's most likely to go, though, because he's, I think that he, well, as you and I both know, how do I say this? He doesn't suffer fools well.
Right.
And when the president kind of gets his fool going for political reasons, the Secretary of Defense keeps his distance.
Yeah.
Keeps his distance. And,
I'd be fired right off the bat. I seriously would. I can't stand that.
Well, you know what? Their problem is that they're not political guys. They don't come from, you know, the political world. So, absolutely. Can I see Kelly get? Yeah, because he would want to talk politics, and Kelly would give him an opinion. But Kelly's not, he's not a political guy. He doesn't look at the country like that, and that's right. Not his thing. Where you see guys like Chris Christie, I mean, they love that political shit, you know.
Right.
So yeah. I can totally see it. But you know the. The chief of staff, you know, I think he did a great job for the president. I mean, that thing was a gong show when he walked into it. And, you know, now the president won. But I do think it's kind of stupid. When we make the announcement, Kelly's leaving, we announce Musselman's going to take his job. We don't have, like, the guy who we say is going to take the job say, yeah, I don't want it. It makes us look bad. So I don't know what's going on there. But whoever orchestrated that needs to get kicked in the ass. So just a thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be a smooth, seamless event. All right. We're not going to announce Kelly's leaving until we got the next guy. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Kelly's leaving. Musselman's going to take his job. No, I'm not. What? That's not how that shit goes. But anyway. All right.
I don't know. I'm glad that, he's getting out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I just realized? He wrote Voices of the Pacific. I got that book too.
You do?
Yeah. And you know what? I got Devotion. I'm looking at the cover. I'm looking at it right now. So I own three of his books. Voices, Devotion, and Higher Call.
Text message. No adults left in the White House. I don't know. His daughter seemed pretty adult-like, but I don't know how much he listened to her. He, you know, again, he's going to have some issues relative to all this court stuff. He's going to have some issues relative to that, and he's got to start running for re-election. So I don't think Kelly's that guy, honestly.
Right.
I think Kelly was good for what he got hired for, and now he needs somebody else to do political stuff, and I think there's probably better choices. So.
Oh, my book comes tomorrow.
Which book?
Tina's book.
Oh, she's coming on. She'll be on Wednesday.
Yeah, I heard.
She'll be on Wednesday.
I'll be listening.
Oh, that always makes me nervous. Because I can hear you saying, that's not the right question. That's so stupid, Mac.
Let her talk. Open-ended questions. Open-ended questions to get the free flow out. Don't do the old, how does that make you feel, though, stuff, but, you know what I mean.
Here you go.
But open-ended.
I'll try.
I'll
do my best.
And don't relate it to any story. Let her tell her story.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
I'm going to send you text messages like crazy.
Don't even think about it. I won't read any of them.
Yes, you will, because I'm going to give you some.
No,
I'm going to, like, if I see it, like, you're sometimes engrossed in interviews. Sometimes, you know, like, you don't see it because you're, like, in it. It's too close to you. Sometimes you got someone on the outside going, hey, ask that question.
Yeah, but that's like, oh, yeah. But you're not that guy, though.
Oh, yeah, I am.
No, it'd be somebody a little bit probably, I don't know, a little bit deeper. Not as shallow as you.
Oh, I can get deep.
You're as deep as Archie Bunker, for God's sakes.
I'm as deep as a puddle on the sidewalk.
Thank you.
No, but I can get like Lake Bacala. Yeah, I can get deep.
Lake what?
Bakul, Lake, whatever it's called.
Lake Bakul?
The one in Russia.
I don't know. Is that a deep lake? Does it go down to China? Does it go to China?
Yeah, Bakul. It's the deepest lake in the world.
Oh, everybody knows that. Like, who would know that? Why would you care?
Yeah, Lake Bakul. Because I know this shit. It's in my head, Mac.
That's playing drinking games in bars. That's what that's from.
It's the seventh largest lake in the world with a maximum depth of 5,387 feet.
My people are chiming in. Don't let him.
It is the world's deepest lake.
Don't let him get in your head, Mac. You're running this show. That's right, man. Don't try to get in my head. It's crowded in there already.
Don't listen to outside voices, Mac. See, it folks work both ways, doesn't it?
I don't know what to do.
Believe me, you don't get in Mac's head like mine. You don't get in my head. You know why?
Because it's empty. It's empty.
There's nothing in there.
There's nothing in there.
It's filled with concrete.
There's been marble rolling around in there for years.
That's right. Because if you get in there, you're gonna go crazy. It's like those. It's like those movies that you know, those mines which like get you in your own, lock you in a mine, then you go crazy. That's what happens. If you try and understand me, it's a trap. You're gonna go crazy. You know why? Because I'm crazy.
There you have it. The right. Truest words ever spoken on this program. You just
That's
heard.
Right. Because I'm crazy.
There you have it. And he's trying to act like it's not true. But
no,
it is.
No, I am true. Believe me when I say it. I'm not lying to you. You look muy loco. Yes, it's me. All right, I'll talk later.
There you have it. The high life, man. Gotta live it. Stevie Winwood. My thanks to Alex Hollings for coming on. If you're just joining us, a lot of people join us like in the third hour and we'll hang out and listen to the next two as they repeat themselves. So you'll hear a discussion about the headbutting we have going on with China, a summation of my birthday. You'll hear a little discussion about what's going on in France. And are the Russians really winning? Looks like it. Them pouring gasoline in democracies. That fire whipped by social media. Tearing at the fabric of Western society. Yeah, are they winning? So then we go through, then we'll take a look at the news. We'll also talk to Alex Hollings. He's from SoftRep and Fightersweep.com. Hold on. That's right, fightersweep.com. I just want to make sure that one's not in my head all the way yet. So, in a very, very interesting segment. Alex, always interesting, maybe more so today than other days. Very, very interesting. Talk about industrial espionage done by the Chinese. So, Don't touch that dial. Good program today. Thanks for listening on this Monday. And if you want to take a look at the two goals and eight commandments, all you got to do is go to the website, right? Okay, and there's a thing there called post-traumatic winning. Click on that. And that will take you to the post-traumatic winning website. Yeah, two websites. Boom. And then you'll see one of the tabs is two goals and eight commandments. Click on that. All right, and it comes up. Click on that. I should probably put something there that says that. And then you will have a version of it that you could download. Yeah, you can zoom in. It's actually higher quality. You can zoom in on it, and you could download it if you want to. So that's what I have right now. I worked on it much of Saturday. That's what I actually did. I couldn't remember what I did Saturday. But you're looking at it. Went from 14 commandments down to 8. And so two goals and 8 commandments of post-traumatic winning. So anyway, that will be the signature of All Marine Radio. So, and then to the people that have already taken a look at it and made comments, I really appreciate it. You're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Anywho, have a great Christmas, not a blue one. On a Monday, All Marine Radio. Over and out. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear.